You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It was the year of fire.
The year of destruction.
The year we took back what was ours.
It was the year of rebirth.
The year of great sadness.
The year of pain.
And a year of joy.
It was a new age.
It was the end of history.
It was a year everything changed.
The year is 2261. The place, Babylon 5.
Who am I? I am Susan Ivanova, Commander. Daughter of Andrei and Sophie Ivanov. I am the right hand of vengeance. And the boot that is gonna kick your sorry ass all the way back to Earth. I am death incarnate. And the last living thing that you are ever going to see.
It's over because we've decided it's over. Now get the hell out of our galaxy.
Hello, and welcome to the Epsilon 3, a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast. Each week, we review an episode of the 1990s sci-fi TV classic Babylon 5. This week, Season 4, Episode 11, Lines of Communication. I'm Paul.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we are the Epsilon 3.
And the synopsis. Franklin and Marcus attempt to persuade the Mars Resistance to assist Sheridan in opposing President Clark. And Delenn learns of the Drac and of increasing caste tensions on Mimbar. Written by JMS and directed by John C. Flynn III, this episode was released on April 28, 1997, and takes place from May 13th to May 16th, 2261. And our guest stars, Marjorie Monaghan as number one, Paolo Seganti as Felipe, G.W. Stevens as Forel, Carolyn Barkin as ISN reporter, brilliantly named person coming up next, Jean-Luc Martin as emissary, Travis James if there was a little asterisk at the end of that name, that'd be Travis James Pate. But I think his name's Pate, or Pate, or it could be anything, really. As alien leader. He's a bit part, anyway. Uncredited, we have Dennis Cosmo Michael as a Mimbari. And no Bill Blair. Cool. So, guys, what did we think of this episode?
Nice outfit, Ivanova.
So join us next week for the next episode.
Yeah, you were going to say Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
I was going to say Cosmic Pizza. Yeah, that's the wrong outro.
That's our other show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it was
so good. Did she look in that outfit? It threw you out. That was good.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I hadn't noticed. Yeah. That was but more ISN propaganda. We get the fuzzy Drac, the White Star Fleet. We get some battles. It was pretty decent episode. I enjoyed it.
Very good, Dan.
Yeah, given the last couple of weeks, it's been sort of so-so. It just doesn't really feel like we knew where we were going. This kind of now sort of sets the stage. We've got the Drac coming in. Admittedly, I was thrown out by the. Was it overacting? Was it mime? What was going on there with the emissary of the Drac going on? He was all over the place and like, oh, I'm so weird. Like, I want to see the footage without the special effects over it, just to see this actor who's just like moving around like he's got ants in his pants. And I'm going to move around and I'm going to make it look all alien-y. And then he sits his ball out and it starts glowing and talking to people. I don't know what's going on. No, it was really good fun.
But it was a weird
choice.
I
enjoyed all the scenes with Steven in it. I actually didn't mind it because, like, you know, they had the whole back and forth, the bit of banter. He didn't annoy me. Steven.
Yes, Steven. Yeah, it was just quiet enough that you almost was like, did I hear that right?
He's got his hands full, you know, you can't blame him.
Oh, da-dum-tsh. So, yes. Yeah, no, I enjoyed this episode as well. It was one of the better ones that we've watched recently. And, yeah, all the Franklin bits were good. It was a great speech that he gave. It was Sheridan-esque in its performance. The whole Delenn facing the Drac thing, yeah, take it or leave it. That's a C plot, if you like, even though it did take up more of the B plot position. But yes, we see final contact with the Mars resistance leaders, which is good. The Sheridan parts were okay. So yeah, I mean, it was overall above average is what I would say, but we'll discuss that when we come to the ratings later.
As reports continue to come in about the harsh conditions aboard what was once the shining beacon of Earth Force, Babylon 5, messages smuggled out indicate that humans continue to be subjected to cruel oppression by alien groups aboard the Renegade Outpost. And every day, more people are asking, when will Earth intervene? How much longer can we allow our citizens to endure this mistreatment?
Sheridan is watching a newscast when the message comes through from Dr. Franklin on Mars. He has arranged a meeting with the Mars Resistance, and as Franklin and Number One are discussing the latest situation on Mars, Marcus Cole comes running in, telling them there has been an explosion at their hotel. It has taken out an Earth security force, and they are saying it is a terrorist attack by the Resistance, but 10 civilians have been killed. Delenn is being brought up to speed by Pharrell from Minbar, saying that there have been more attacks on the Norsai transport ships along their border. They are a small race that have been aligned to the Minbari for centuries that we've never heard of before. You think they may have mentioned them once or twice? I mean, you know, we've been long-term friends, you never talk to us, you don't protect us anymore.
And also, there have been more attacks against transport ships along our border, Delenn. Not against our own ships, but the smaller world we've been aligned for centuries. The Norsai have been the hardest hit.
The Grey Council guaranteed their protection, but as they are no more, the three castes have been more concerned about protecting their own interests.
The Alliance Norsai was initiated by the religious caste. Now that the war is over, the warrior caste are refusing to help.
Do you know who's responsible for these attacks?
No. So we have sent for more information. Perhaps the situation's not as bad as the reports have indicated.
Sheridan asks Delenn out for dinner, but she has to return to Minbar to help sort out the growing crisis with the attacks. Apparently, according to Sheridan, the Pak Mara have been suffering similar attacks. He then says, don't you go there, it's too dangerous. Send Linnea.
Right? Send the other guy, not the woman I love.
Yes. Yeah. Poor Linnea. Oh, it's far too dangerous, far too dangerous. Send Linnea. I don't think he really likes Linnea. I just don't think he understands him at all.
That talk in the lift. That's what it is. Woohoo. That's it. He's been looking for a reason to get rid of him.
Yeah, I think what the problem is Linnea wants to have a bit of woohoo with Delenn. And of course, Sheridan is seeing him as a possible
rival.
Rival. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. A possible rival to his. Love for Delenn, and maybe that's the way to get rid of him, is to send him out on dangerous missions.
Makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
She reminds him of who she was and what she can do, so he lets her go, reluctantly. Number One collars Felipe, the resistance member who planted the bomb in the hotel. She goes apeshit on him.
You know damn well what you did. That bombing was unauthorized.
I checked with Donovan!
Donovan's Earthside! Whatever he may think, he doesn't run the resistance. Mars is my territory, and you don't pull this kind of crap without authorization.
I saw the security squad checking in. There wasn't time!
A call takes 10 seconds. Do you know what I can do to you in 10 seconds? In 10 seconds, I can cripple you for life. In 10 seconds, I can break your skull open and scoop out your brains for cat food.
She does not care what he does on Earth, but on Mars, he should answer to her.
I've got 10 dead civilians on the deck, Philippe. And they're going to hold me responsible. They'll be looking for me long after you go home to Earth. I don't care what you do back home, but here, you answer to me. And you don't do anything. You don't breathe, you don't move, and you don't blow things up unless you check with me first. Clear?
Tell me,
Is this how you treat all your former lovers?
As a matter of fact, yes.
It is past midnight on Babylon 5, and Sheridan is still watching ISN, which is doing its best to slander him, when suddenly he has an epiphany. He goes straight to Ivanova, who's trying to sleep. After ranting away about a great new idea he has, he tells Ivanova to come and see.
I've got it. Damn it, Susan, I've got it!
What?
Look, if they want to play games, well, fine. We can play games, too, only we can play them better because we've got the truth on our side. You can't kill the truth. Actually, you can kill the truth, but it always comes back to haunt you later.
Hello?
Come on, I'll show you. I think we can make this work.
John!
What?
Don't you think I better change first?
She is still in a nightgown, although John doesn't seem to have noticed.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry, I hadn't noticed.
Thanks, I'll just... Wait a minute. What do you mean you didn't notice? And what am I, Chop Florin? Anyway, okay. Granted, I don't have any interest in you. You don't have any interest in me. But if you're going to come barging in here in the middle of the night, the least you could say is, nice outfit, Ivanova. And then go on a tear.
Yeah, nice outfit, Ivanova.
You're such a, I swear to God, a jerk. Men, it's always the same. It's such a jerk.
He takes her to the war room. He wants her to become the voice of the resistance. He wants her to broadcast to Earth about what is really happening. I mean, you walk into Ivanova's room and you don't notice, past midnight, you don't even notice that she's in a negligee.
I noticed.
I noticed.
I know he's in love with Delenn, but seriously, he's not blind.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, he's in love. He's not blind.
Well, he was dead just a few months ago.
Well, it's obviously had an effect.
Yeah, that could be it. Maybe this is what, you know, Garibaldi's been trying to tell us about all this time. That's why he doesn't trust him. His senses aren't working.
Mm. Yeah.
He needs his vitamins. That's what he needs.
That's right.
And for our American listeners, that's vitamins.
Oh, sorry, vitamins. Yeah, vitamins and minerals.
And the reason why that's funny is because we had a whole discussion about it before we started recording.
Insert that clip here.
Oh yeah, definitely you should. Can you do me a favor, both of you? Can you pronounce the word that is spelled vitamin?
Vitamin.
Yeah.
Bitman.
No. V like Victor.
Oh,
V-I-T-A.
Oh, vitamin.
Yeah, that.
Oh, yeah.
Vitamin.
Okay. Vitamin. Not vitamin.
Yeah, there is no hard I in that word.
Yeah, because I was listening to the Rest is History podcast, and they're a bunch of British guys, and they're talking about vitamins this and vitamin that, and I'm like, I wonder if that's how Dan and Paul.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't think of any accent, I think, in the UK that says vitamin. Everyone says vitamin. Yeah. Vitamin, aluminium.
Yeah, all if that. We said that here, all that jazz. People would look at us like crazy.
Toronto. Yeah. not Toronto. I was told by Jarman that he says, you use the word whilst. I went, yeah. He says, isn't that sort of like an antiquated version of while? I went, no, it's the British version of while. What do you mean? It's the way we speak. So now I use it all the time. I just...
I love it. It's one of my favorite Britishisms.
Whilst.
Yeah. Whilst.
Yeah. Whilst. It's a great one. Whilst you're here. Exactly. Yeah, it's vitamins and minerals. Yes, that's how we say minerals. Minerals.
Mineralies.
Yeah. I've been watching Farscape, and one of the characters keeps pronouncing data as data, but not just data, as data.
Yeah. Data.
Not even data. It's data.
What do you want with my data?
I never touch your data.
My son's over there, but my data, she's not here.
On the White Star, Delenn is told that the warrior caste is trying to take control of the council by pushing out the other castes. Meanwhile, on Mars, Franklin is addressing the resistance leaders.
All right, I want to thank all of you for coming. I know that getting here was difficult for most of you, considering the extent to which President Clark has been restricting travel. Captain Sheridan has asked me to convey several messages. First, to express the outrage we all feel about how Mars has been treated.
I guess so.
Now, it was Clark's decision to bomb civilian targets that prompted our decision to secede from the Alliance.
He tells them that Babylon 5 has not forgotten Mars or Proxima 3, and they are putting, like we had, and they are putting together a coalition and wants their support.
He wants you to know that we have not forgotten Mars or Proxima 3. We are putting together a coalition that will move against Clark at the appropriate time, and he wants your support. Provided that you do understand that this is directed against the person, not the position.
I know. What are you begging us for? What are you selling? Some of you want to overthrow EarthGov as payment for what it's done to you. Fair enough. I was raised on Arisia colony, which was sucked dry by Earth taxes and ruined by Earth corporations, so I sympathize.
But the Resistance has not seen much support coming from Babylon 5 lately. This, of course, is due to the Shadow War.
But if you go that way, you'll lose any support you might have back home and jeopardize the greater mission, getting rid of Clark.
Now, towards that end, the captain wants you to stop bombing civilian targets. It does no good, and it never has.
We have to send a message. You are, but it's the wrong message. It makes everyone back home more sympathetic to Clark's position. You're driving people away when you should be trying to bring them around to our side.
And the creatures behind it may also be behind some of the things that are going on Earth right now.
You talk about our side, but we haven't seen much help coming from Babylon 5 lately.
Sorry, been a trifle busy lately with a little war that threatened to wipe out this entire sector. And before you think it's got nothing to do with you, the creature we found on one of your people when we got here would seem to indicate that the forces behind that war are also responsible for some of the problems here.
This is the sort of speech Franklin's father would give, and shows his passion, which we have seen before when he's been working as a doctor. Franklin delivers a message from Sheridan.
Captain Sheridan gave me one last message. He said, I know we are asking a great deal of you, but in exchange for your cooperation, you have my guarantee that when this is all over, Mars will finally be recognized as an independent state.
And we're supposed to believe one man saying this?
Right. Yes! If it's the right man.
Oh, yeah? And what if I said I sprout wings and fly to New York? Yeah.
In your case, I'd say you were crazy. But if Sheridan said it, I'd tell him to stop off on the west side and pick me up some bagels.
That gives them something to think about. So I thought that the whole speech and the addition of a little bit extra to make it a bit more flowery, a good part of Franklin that we see when he's very passionate about something, especially if he's trying to save somebody's life and he wants to do something different, or he's, you know, he thinks he can save them, even though it might be, you know, it might look hopeless. And he's the right person. That's suddenly I realized then he's the right person to go and talk to the Resistance people. Anybody else might not have been so passionate in their, you know, in their belief for them to help them.
Yeah, Franklin's actually a really good character when he's not actually being a doctor.
Yes. I wonder what you were going to say then, but yes, a doctor, yeah.
It's the lack of having a spare bed. That's what does it.
Well,
goes to a man's head.
Yeah, but he's been offered another one, so that's fine.
That's very true.
Oh, Stephen.
Oh, don't do that, because I might start shouting that out in the middle of the night, waking up in a cold sweat, and the wife will be going, who the hell's this Stephen? The White Stars arrive at the area where most of the attacks on the North Sai transport ships are. They receive a distress call and rush to help, but they are too late. They see the attacking ships, but they have never encountered them before. They contact them, and they call themselves Drac. Whether that is their name or species is unclear. They are talking to them in Minbari, but Linnea has not sent them their language codes. Just then, Pharrell pulls out a gun, and he tells Linnea to get the Drac ships to follow them. Number One is impressed with Franklin's speech. He has the trust of the Resistance leaders and Number One. Marcus is not happy she didn't thank him, and puts it down to Number One liking Stephen.
I was there too, you know. Didn't thank me.
Well, you were the one that always told me that being a ranger is a thankless job.
Yeah, I know, but it wouldn't hurt once in a while just for the sheer change of pace. Ask me. I think she likes you.
Ah, come on. Nah, it's just business, that's all.
Steven.
Look, I was just helping her out of a difficult situation, that's all.
50 credits says that's not all she wants you to help her out of.
Oh, come on, Marcus, you are such a...
Romantic?
Yeah.
Number one comes back and offers Steven a meal. He accepts.
Oh, Franklin, I almost forgot. Since it was your hotel that was bombed this morning, you're on your own. Maybe you'd like to join me for dinner tonight. I can't promise much, but it'll be the best we can pull together.
Sure.
Then she tells Marcus that they are short of guard duty.
We're a little short-handed on guard duty tonight. If you could help out...
Love to. That'll be 50 credits.
No, don't you start 50, with me, Marcus. 50. Don't.
Come on, you cheap bastard.
Marcus, look.
Oh, sorry. Gotta go. Guard duty.
The best line is by Marcus.
Touch passion when it comes your way, Stephen. It's rare enough as it is. Don't walk away when it calls you by name.
Good advice.
I thought the best line was actually out.
Come on, you cheap bastard. Mark.
Pharrell stops the ships and tells Delenn to accept the life pod that is heading their way. The out-of-focus emissary, otherwise known as Dan, that speaks for Drac, arrives on the bridge in a very Amdram alien way. Pharrell wants to have them as allies to stop the warrior cast. It's really distracting. Pharrell wants to have them as allies to stop the warrior caste taking control of Mimbar. In exchange of a few deserted planets along the Mimbari borders, the Drac will offer them protection, an idea that horrifies Delenn and Linnea. Pharrell wants Delenn to take this idea back to Mimbar, to the religious caste, as they will respect her. As he goes to leave, the Drac hears Pharrell use Delenn's name. As soon as he leaves the room, Delenn tells Pharrell that the Drac will recognize her and will attack the White Star. She defeated their masters, and now they want to defeat her and become masters of the galaxy. As soon as the life pod leaves the ship, Delenn and Linnea make their plans to escape. The Dracs lock their weapons on the White Stars, but they make a run for it. They manage to get away in the nick of time, but not without casualties. One of them is Pharrell. Delenn is rueful about being away from Mimbar for so long. She orders all the White Stars to attack the Drac ships, and they make repeated runs at the mothership, creating no damage whatsoever. Just as the mothership is about to enter the jump gate, Delenn's White Star takes one last run at it and does a handbrake turn in front of the ship, now facing the mothership and blocking the entrance to the jump gate, which is a bit like an ant trying to stop an elephant. She orders Linnea to end this, and the White Star does nothing more than it has done before, but suddenly their lasers cut through the ship's hull like butter, and the whole thing explodes. They return to Babylon 5, knowing there is trouble at home. Delenn and Sheridan meet up in the war room. She tells John she is going home to Mimbar to prevent a civil war. It may take some time, and their time apart might be helpful.
You've been holding back, trying to protect all of us from the parts of you that changed at Zahadum. You've tried to act as if nothing had changed. But I know your heart, John. You can fool the others, but you cannot fool me. What is left requires that you'd be dangerous. And I think you would be more comfortable doing that if I were not here.
She needs him to be dangerous, which he will only be if she is not there. They have one final dinner before she goes. Back on Mars, Stephen has his hands full as well.
Oh, Stephen.
Up goes the staff, down goes the staff. Yeah. Up goes the staff, down goes the staff.
I wish he wasn't playing with his staff like that while he's listening to, oh, Stephen. Mm.
But you know what you should listen to? You should listen to this promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Okay, so trivia.
That's it. Got some?
Nope. Moving on to the goofs. They've actually got a goof of a goof, because the goof that they have written down is for next week's episode.
Oh.
So there are no trivia and there's no goofs. So, Sean, are there any Star Trek connections?
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Well, is there a Star Trek connection? Yes, there is one Star Trek connection. Oh. Even with all the people in the show, there was only one. Well, of course, we have Marjorie Monahan from last time. She was in that Beowulf episode, but that doesn't count. We've got a new person here. We've got the emissary played by Jean-Luc Martin, whatever his name is, Gene Luc Martin. And he was in an episode of Star Trek Voyager in the episode called The Thaw. And he has the best character name pretty much of all time. He is credited as Big Head Sack Suit Guy. Big Head Sack Suit Guy. I didn't rewatch The Thaw because I hate that episode. But next time I see it, I'm going to have to look for Big Head Sack Suit Guy and know that he also played the emissary on Babylon 5.
I want to see the calls for auditions for Big Head Suit Guy. That's awesome.
What was he? Was it? What was that? Does it do Space Nine?
Please audition.
No, it was Voyager. The one with the clown.
Voyager,
and they're in the
which season?
I think it's season one.
Like a fear.
Was it?
Mm.
Yeah, where they go to this planet and there's only five survivors of the entire species left, and they're hooked into some kind of cryo chamber, and they have a virtual reality simulation that's controlled by a clown, and he feeds off of their fear. It's a horrible episode.
It's season 2, 23.
Oh, it's at the end of season 2? Okay, I thought it was season 1.
Season 2, episode 23. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was season 1 as well, but yeah.
Okay, ratings. So we rate our viewing experiences out of Jump Gates, and it's out of 5 because of Babylon 5, and the IMDb, they do theirs out of 10, and they've given this a 7.5, which equates to 3.75 in our score. So, Sean, what would you give this episode?
You know, I'd kind of agree with IMDb. I would also give it a 3.75. I was thinking about going as high as 4, but no, it's not spectacular. It's decent because you know we needed another new threat to the galaxy, so that's good. I don't know, it's a serviceable episode. We get a little bit of progress. We know that they're finally turning the page and they're gonna start to do the propaganda back, so that's good, with Voice of the Resistance. And it was good. So 3.75.
Okay, excellent. Dan, what would you give it?
I enjoyed it. I think we're setting up the Drac. At least we've got sort of the galactic stuff, and then we've got the Mars stuff. And you know, we didn't get any more angry Garibaldi this week, so I kind of appreciated it. We've got Sheridan sort of having his grand idea, and actually watching this episode and what we will review next time, it kind of works as a two-parter again. I know I say it every week, but it does, the way we're watching it actually really does help, watching these two sandwiched together. So I actually really enjoyed it. I think I would come back to it. I've enjoyed it more than the last couple of weeks of episodes. And I think the highest I got to that was like 3.7. So I enjoyed it a lot more than that. So I'm going to go for a 4 out of 5. It's time to pay up, the cheap bastard.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that, because I have only watched this one episode. So I haven't watched the second one just yet. So I haven't got the full two-part experience. But I actually quite like this episode, and I do remember parts of it from my rewatch a few years ago, which up till now I haven't been able to say. The bits in the cave and the speech, which I thought was a brilliant speech by Franklin, and loved the way he manipulated it slightly so that it would work. And it's exactly the sort of thing that Sheridan would do. It was a very powerful speech, a very right from the heart. And very persuasive. So there was an excellent use of Franklin in this episode. I like the fact that he's totally missing that, you know, he's being hit on by number one. And it takes Marcus Cole to point this out. And I really enjoyed that part of it. I was okay with the Drac as if it was just a one-off thing, but another great big, I can understand that, once the floor has been cleared of the big aliens, others are going to come in to try and take over the galaxy. So that makes sense. But all we've done really is to swap one alien for another. But anyway, having said all of that, I'm going to give this a 4.25, I think. Excellent. Good. Okay, so we have some good scores there. So, yeah, Dan was exactly in the middle. Our average is a 4 for this episode, and Dan hit the middle. And me and Sean were equally either side of him. Brilliant. Okay, so that is the end of this episode. Join us again next week when we'll be discussing Season 4, Episode 12, Conflicts of Interest. If you have any thoughts on this episode, why not send in some feedback to the epsilon3@gmail.com. That's 3 spelled T-H-R-E-E, not the number. Or you can find us on our Facebook page. Just search for the Epsilon 3.
Now, if you have any other problems, any other questions at all, just ask.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.